If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's going on, everybody? Y'all know what time it is. We have an amazing tech testimony today. He went from a photographer to a high-paying career in tech sales, in the tech industry. Now, you all, for those of you that are new here, we've interviewed hundreds of people who have gotten in the industry. This story is going to be very unique, especially because we're talking about tech sales. I know we love to talk about this. That being said, y'all, for everybody who is tuning in and you're not in the tech industry, and you want to do the exact same program he did to get into tech, because it only took him a few months to get in the industry after he finished his program, he's going to talk about that. But for those of you that are new here, if you are tuning in on Instagram, comment, "Get me in tech," and our automations are going to send over to you two different options to get into the industry. One of those is the exact same program he did, which also will include a discount link. For those of you that are on YouTube, LinkedIn, or you're listening in after this on Spotify, Apple Music, any podcast, all you need to do is go to the show notes, go to the description, and you will see different link options for the discount links to the program he did, as well as some other options and other things as well. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later. First and foremost, want to know if it's everybody who's tuning in, let us know where you're tuning in from, what it is you currently do in the tech industry, or what you are aspiring to do in the tech industry. Let us know in the chat. And also make sure y'all have y'all's questions prepared. For everybody, whether even if you're listening to this after the fact, make sure you are dropping your questions in the comment section, except for Instagram. On Instagram, click the drop down above my head, and there will be a question box that will appear, and you will post your questions there. We are going to prioritize the questions that are first come, first serve, so make sure you post your questions and have them ready. That being said, y'all, we're going to go ahead and jump into it. My guest probably sent me a request to join. He did, so I'm going to go ahead and accept him on Instagram right now. Yeah, y'all, very excited about this interview that we have today. And he's coming on in just a second on Instagram. All right, there we go. Wonderful, wonderful. And let us know, y'all. Hopefully y'all shouldn't hear any feedback. But let us know if y'all hear like any crazy feedback or if it's a crazy issue at all. Please let us know. That being said, y'all, let's go ahead and jump into it. So, Kevin, thank you so much, bro, for being here again. I told you congratulations, but I didn't tell you thank you for you coming on, taking your time out of your evening to come on here and be able to give people your tech testimony. Really appreciate it.
Oh, no, I'm happy to be here, man. And I am hearing a little bit of an echo, so I don't know if that's just me, but I am hearing a little bit of one, so I hope everybody else isn't either. I have my stuff muted, so I'm hoping it's not me.
Yeah, I hear a little bit of one, too, but I'm hoping that it's not an issue for everybody else. Y'all let us know in the chat, whether on LinkedIn, YouTube, or on Instagram, if y'all are hearing, if it's an annoying echo, if it's something that's annoying, if it's a huge issue, please let us know. We want to make sure this sounds smooth and cool for y'all. So obviously we're not in professional studios or anything. Nevertheless, we don't want it to sound annoying to y'all. So do we sound good? Let us know on Instagram. Do we sound good? YouTube told us we sound good.
Okay,
but we're waiting for the Instagram folks. Somebody on Instagram, tell us. Do we sound okay? Going once, going twice. All right, we're gonna continue on because y'all aren't saying anything. So super cool. All right. So that being said, yeah, man. So thank you for being on here. Yo, let's go ahead and jump straight into it. Yeah. So, of course, these are the questions people are gonna want to know. So just a quick high level overview. What exactly do you do? So first off, how long have you been in tech? And what exactly do you do in the tech industry? What is your role?
I'm an SDR, sales development representative, for a performance marketing company.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been in the industry?
Since April. Not that long.
Yeah. We love it. We love it. So what, April, May, June, July. Yeah, so basically 3 months just about. So that's super cool. So SDR. Now, what is the range of pay for someone who's entry level up to the highest numbers you've heard? Let's say someone gets, they scale up, they get promoted up to senior level, enterprise level. So from range, what does the entry level usually look like? And then like some of the highest career earnings.
So from what I've seen, like entry level can be anywhere between like 45 to even like up to 90 to start. And that's usually not counting OTE. And then from what I've seen from the progression of like how high you can go with it, I've seen up to like around 500K per year. So pretty big range.
Yeah, that's spot on. It sounds like you've actually done your research, because I've done this interview with people before where I could tell they were just kind of focused on just getting a job and getting in the industry. You sound like you've done a little bit of actual research about the numbers.
Oh, yeah. I put in the time for sure. And I came from previous numbers background. So I'm numbers around my mind a lot.
I love that. So we'll talk about that a little bit more later on, yeah. But it's cool to see that. I always respect when I see that. So super cool. So SDR, you've been in for 3 months, and a range of pay, if we're talking just base and not even the OTE or commission, range could be between 45 and 90,000. But when as somebody gets promoted up, then we're talking like up to like $500,000, which is pretty spot on. So let me know in the chat. So someone said, I can't hear the guest. Y'all can't hear him? I need somebody else to confirm for me that y'all can't hear Kevin.
Let me ask if they can hear me now.
And I'm not trying y'all to hear him?
Yeah. Sound like Verizon or anything, but.
or T-Mobile, since he switched sides. Oh, yeah, Sprint, whatever side he switched to.
Yeah, in attempts at trying to reduce the echo, I might have turned my mic off, but someone said we can hear.
Okay, super cool.
Okay,
good. All right, now I agree. All right. Yeah, so for those of y'all that missed it, I do a quick recap of what he said. So he is in the tech sales space. He's an SDR or sales development representative. He's been in the industry now for 3 months. He got hired in April. And he's saying that the range from an entry-level salary, it ranges, we'll kind of split it in the middle, ranges in around like 75, 80,000 entry level, not counting OTE, which is basically commissions. It's more than just commission, it's basically just commission to simplify it, up to $500,000. So that's what he broke down. And now let's go ahead and jump into how exactly did you get in the tech industry?
I got into it through Course Careers, really. That's the main driving force that kind of led me down that path for sure.
Yeah, super good. Yeah, and for those of y'all that know, you know, y'all know we've interviewed plenty of people who've done Course Careers. Really great program. Arguably, not even arguably, I think like the best for those that are price conscious, best price in the market. So a really great option for those that are looking to get into that space. I pay for friends and family members to do that program, you know, largely because it's both quality as well as it wasn't going to make me break the bank to like help them pay for them, help them get in tech. So super cool. All right. Now, next, what is the day-to-day? You mentioned, okay, you are SDR. You've been in the industry now for 3 months. Mm-hmm. What does the day-to-day of an SDR do, specifically at your type of company? You mentioned something like you're at like a performance something type of company.
Yeah, so, performance marketing. Yeah. So the main difference between where I'm at and I think most, I shouldn't say most, but from what I, when I was in my training, learning from what most SDRs do, is we actually, at the company I'm at now, we actually don't cold call. So they're big on emailing. They're really big on emailing. So that was kind of part of my background and part of my even interview was sending an email, pretending that they were, you know, potential prospect and like showing them what I can do. And so there were other things mentioned in my interview that we can get into later, obviously, that kind of let them know, oh, this guy might be a good writer for us. And it was a new position, whereas like before they didn't have any SDRs really at the company. They just had like sellers or sales reps. And so they were trying to implement a new process toward like, obviously the SDR can help out everybody get more meetings and stuff. So the approach is just strictly email. So each day is mostly, like I said, it's mostly email and LinkedIn messaging, along with obviously prospecting through you know, Sales Navigator and some of the common ones, and you know, going into Salesforce and checking to see what contacts are there and kind of going through those. And that's really, and then obviously when you book a meeting, then attending the meeting. That was the great thing about the company I'm at now is they were, because most, or I shouldn't say most again, but a lot of SDRs, they kind of just, once you book the meeting, you're kind of now out of the picture a little bit, and you just kind of hope and pray that, well, I hope that sale goes through. And so for this company, they actually want you there for everything along the way. So any meetings I book, I'm in the calls. And even if there's follow-up, so I'm getting, so I was telling them in my interview process, I'm like, because they were asking me how I felt about that. And I was like, that is great, because for me, that's going to expedite my learning curve a lot, especially coming from no experience. Now I'm getting to sit in and watch sellers who've been doing it for years, and just getting, and getting to see all their different styles all the time. Like, that's been a huge learning curve in just these few short months.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that's incredible. I will be honest. So what, one thing I have heard of, and I know this is very common when we talk about tech sales, is that, you know, a lot of people, for those of y'all that missed it, he was saying how his company doesn't have him do cold calling. They focus heavily on emailing. Mm-hmm. And one of the things about tech sales, even in the SDR space, is that when you are doing that outreach, whether it's emailing, phone call, LinkedIn messages, things like that, you receive your commission as long as the prospect just shows up to the meeting. So there's usually commission. Now, in a lot of other industries, usually you only receive commission if the prospect actually buys the product. But what I love about the tech sales industry, which is a little different from the traditional sales, is, as I mentioned, you still receive commission as long as that prospect shows up to the meeting.
Yeah.
So that's a great thing. One thing I will say, though, that I haven't heard is what you had just mentioned, where you were just sharing about how your company, I mean, one, how they have you focus, they just really have you focus on email. Mm-hmm. That's unique. And two, because I've heard of companies that have their teams focus on LinkedIn and cold calling, but I've never heard about someone with a company hasn't focused on email. So I think that's pretty unique.
Yeah.
But the second thing that I think is really cool is how they also have you on the calls with the account executive, with the sales rep. And I mean, you mentioned how that's beneficial to you. Can you explain to people? Some people might be like, okay, why does that matter? Can you explain why that is, you know, in your opinion, why that's beneficial for you as a appointment setter, essentially, to be on the call with the closer, even though you're not a closer?
Right. Well, to me, like I said, A, you're getting to see, at least at my company, is about six different main sellers. So I'm getting to see six different styles or approaches to how they speak to the customer, how they, or the prospect, I should say, how they, you know, qualify them, all these things I'm getting to see and pinpoint, okay, well, this person's very direct. This one person kind of does it a little bit more smooth and subtle. This person's kind of like jokey with them and gets them kind of drop their guard a little bit. And then, so it's like all these different styles that I'm getting to see. And then on top of that, I'm getting to also see, okay, how do they respond to objections or questions or concerns, and see how they all, you know, how they all kind of like process that and how they all feed that back to them and answer those things in a way that makes sense. And obviously, and also like puts their worries or whatever at ease. So for me, like I said, it's just like, it's kind of like getting to learn a style, but like you're learning six different styles from all these different masters. And so it's like, I'm learning, you know, it's like if martial arts, I'm like, I'm learning from a Kung Fu and Tai Chi and Muay Thai and all these different styles. So it's kind of getting me a wide variety. And then I can kind of really see in each of them, like, okay, that, like that kind of would work for me, because that's kind of like how I interact with people. But the way that this person answered this, that was so good. I got to remember, like, so I'm getting to kind of pick the best parts, kind of cherry pick, and then keep them for myself, basically.
Yeah. Yo, that's solid. That's really solid. I think one of the other benefits that I think that you have is that, I mean, when you get promoted into the account executive role, account executive position, it won't be entirely foreign to you, because usually when I've seen SDRs that are ready to get promoted, that want to get promoted, it's a slightly different world to them. It's still in the tech sales space, but it's a slightly different world for them. But you getting a sneak peek, it just means you're going to be set up for success once you make that transition. And I think that's phenomenal. I mean, for those that don't know, you know, once you step into the account executive space, it's almost the sky's the limit in terms of like how much your compensation could be, you know, your, you know, commission payout. You know, you step into things, you know, that are, you know, if anybody in the chat doesn't know about this, there are these things called accelerators where you could essentially make 200%, 300% of what your commission is. Like, you could literally make significant, like, it can increase significantly, double, triple, even what your commission is. And that's how a lot of people, you know, put up, like, if y'all look up a company that might pay for an account, like pay an account executive about $200,000, that same account executive could be making $600,000 a year. And it's like, whoa, how are you making $600,000? And oftentimes because of those accelerators. Yep. And so, but those are things that you really don't have access to usually as an SDR. So hearing that you have this experience is really going to allow you to kind of get expedited in your process of becoming an account executive.
Well, and that was one of the things that, again, I really liked about the job, because they were in the interview process, they were very clear on a couple things. One, they were very clear on, like I said, that I would be sitting in all these things, so it would help expedite my learning curve. And so they basically kind of said, you know, after about a year or maybe earlier, depending on how you're doing, you most likely will be in a position to where you can either A, we might bring, feel the need to, this has been working well, let's bring in more SDRs and have you be the head SDR, like the lead over them. Or you would just move into, like you said, an account executive or sales position, because you already have a year of seeing how all these different people do it. So you can kind of go through that way. And the other thing that's really interesting too, is because I know, like you said, a lot of SDR roles, it's just kind of based on did they show up at the meeting? Like, did they come to the meeting? Okay, cool, you got paid. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's actually even better, because it's almost like you were saying with the accelerator, because we have, like, if they show up, I get something. If they actually launch with us, I get something else. And then depending on how much they invest over time, I have bumps. So it's a really good structure for sure.
Yo, that's incredible.
I know it's not all companies do this, but yeah. When I heard that, I was like, yes.
Man, that's incredible. Yeah, because I mean, that is very impressive. I've never heard of anything like that before. That's incredibly beneficial. I mean, you could eat two or three different ways off of that one person. So that's incredible. That is incredible. You know what's funny? Usually people in the comments, oftentimes people ask, like, oh, what company does this person work at? What company does this person work at? And one thing, I'm really big on protecting people. And I'm like, hey, if you want to know what company they work at, follow them on LinkedIn, connect with them on LinkedIn. That being said, one of the reasons I know people always want to know where someone works is because in their mind, they think, oh, well, if they're making that much, it's because of the company. Or they think, oh, well, if this company hired them, then I want to apply to that company because they're hiring. And usually I tell people, look, guys, the industry, there are a lot of companies that are doing great things, that pay well, that are hiring. This is probably the only occasion where it would make sense for someone to want.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to share the company, but I'm just saying this is the only occasion where it actually would make sense. Because I'm like, okay, that's pretty unique. That is pretty unique for a tech sales role. Really cool.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, the two things that, well, like I've already mentioned, like three things that are very unique. It's like mostly only email. You're on with all the calls, and then the structure, the commission structures. So I was just like, man, this is really too good to be true a little bit. So I understand why people would be intrigued. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's incredible, man. Major congratulations on that.
It's just a blessing from God, honestly. That's what it is.
Hey, yeah. Okay, cool. She's good now. All right, wonderful. So, anyway, you're good now. Eight liars. You're totally good. We have a bot in our comments. And we have to fix the bot, because the bot is a little bit too sensitive. Like, if it thinks someone's like promoting something, our bot, it automates, it kind of like kicks someone out if it thinks they're like spamming or they're trying to promote something. But again, my team, we didn't set it up proper. So every now and again, somebody will just mention something and it'll block somebody for the dumbest reason. It even happens to my team. Sometimes my team will be in the chat and they'll answer something, then they get blocked out. So it was nothing that you did. It's just our bot that we have to adjust it. Totally not your fault. You're totally good. Totally good. So that being said, yeah, man. So really incredible. So let's jump to this, and then I want to go back a little bit about your past before you got in tech, because I know a lot of people that are here. Let me know in the chat who all is here that isn't in tech yet. Let me know in the chat, you know, if you're not in the industry yet, because I know there's a lot of people here that aren't in the industry. There's a combination of people here who aren't in the industry, and for clarity, for those of y'all who've been asking. who missed out. He is in tech sales. So he's an SDR. He's in tech sales. He did the tech sales program with that boot camp. A couple of people were like, hey, I've been hearing about that boot camp a lot. Yeah, because they have positive ratings, positive reviews, which is really hard to have, but it's because they are so outstanding. So again, the program is literally, it's $500. If you want to save some money, we have a discount link to where it literally would just be $449 for you. You know, the link is in the description. It's in the show notes. Or if you're on Instagram, just comment, get me in tech. And but that being said, this would be a good time to ask this question. And then we're going to go back to your past. So I know you just started your job in April.
Yeah.
At what point, how long did it take you to finish the program? So from start to finish, how long did it take you to finish it? And then how long did it take you between you finishing the program before you actually got your offer for the company that you currently work at?
Okay, so I'll try to make this brief, but it's a little tricky. So it took me 5 weeks to finish the course mm-hmm. because I was part of a cohort. So it was a scheduled thing. So I stayed on pace with that and was taking my final by the fifth week. So that's how long it took me to complete the course. And I kind of planned it this way, right as the course was like 3 days after the course ended, I had a bunch. And when I say a bunch, I mean, I think it was 16 people from my wife's family come and stay with us at our house, which meant I didn't have access to my office. So because people were sleeping in here. So it delayed, and they were here basically from like mid-December to mid-January, basically. So I wasn't able to really actually start looking until mid-January. And then I got my offer by mid-March and I started early April.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing. So 5 week program, took you 5 weeks to finish it. Mm-hmm. And then it took you roughly about 2 months before you got your first offer. Not just an offer, but an offer at a fire company, a stellar company at that.
Yeah, it's been a great company, yeah.
So he did the tech sales. He did the tech sales track. If you want to know, just look in the description in the comments. It'll tell you the boot camp he did, the program, all of that stuff. So he did the tech sales track with the program. We're not going to keep, respectfully, y'all, we're not going to keep reiterating stuff. We reiterated three times because we got to keep the conversation moving forward, and we got to respect the people who were here on time and who've been here. So that way they don't keep hearing us repeat the same thing four or five times over and over. So yeah, just go back and listen to the beginning. Or if you want another program you did, I'll keep reiterating this part. Just go look at the description, the links in the description, the information in the description, and the show notes. That being said, so that's incredible, man. So 5 weeks to finish the program, roughly 2 months before you got your job. You've been in the job now for 3 months, an amazing, amazing company. I want to talk a little bit more about that. But actually, you know what? I want to flip things around. I want to start right here. With the news, because, you know, I told you, I was mentioning this earlier. Mm-hmm. A lot of people kind of focus on the news, and news is always fear-mongering, you know, say, hey, nobody's hiring, nobody's hiring. One, what led you to say, hey, right now is the right time to go ahead to get in tech? Mm-hmm. And then two, what was your thought process like when you actually finished the program and you were like actually working towards getting a job? Was there a lot of fear? Was there a lot of anxiety? Was there a lot of confidence? So yeah, what led you right now, despite the news, to be like, hey, I don't care, I'm about to go ahead and get into the tech industry right now? And then two, what were your feelings like after the program?
So it's kind of a mixed bag because I didn't have any fear or anything going in. It was actually, and what led me to it, honestly, if I'm being 100% honest, it was just a prayer. It was a prayer for guidance. Amen. To guide me somewhere. And right as I was ending that prayer, a Myron Golden video was on and yeah. It was talking about sales. And then right after that video ended, it went to a video about someone talking about the tech sales and course careers. And I was like, okay, I'll take this as a sign. And so I started, and it literally the next cohort that I mentioned I was in, the 5 week cohort, it started like the next day. So I was like, I don't want to wait. So I'm starting tomorrow. And so that's what led me to that. But as far as the, I guess I was probably blinded to the idea of there being, it being a bad time or anything until I finished the course and was now actually at the point where I was looking for a job. I think that was the first time it hit me because I was kind of told pretty much by our coach, Coach Dre, he was like, look, there's kind of two different things that happen when you're looking for a job. If you're doing everything right, it's either you're getting interviews, but you're just not getting offers, which means there's something you're saying in your interviews or something you're presenting in your interviews that we need to work on. Yeah. But if you're not getting even interviews, then there's something with your resume.
Exactly.
And so for that first month, I was getting nothing. And that's when the fear started to creep in. I said, maybe this is a bad time, because I was like, I don't have a college degree. Because you see on the job descriptions all the time, like, even they still say, a lot of them will say like degree preferred. Or experience preferred, 2 years experience, 6 months, whatever it is. Right. And I was like, okay, I have no degree, I have no experience. I just have the certificate. That's all I got. And a prayer. And I'm like, let me just go for it. And so I luckily had Dre there for me too. So I was able to keep going back to him and saying, I'm getting nothing. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. And I'm putting in the work to get the job. Cause he always talks about like, you got to do the job to get the job now that you've completed it. So I was putting in the hours every day, and I wasn't getting anything. So we took a couple hard looks at my resume, and we found some things that we needed to tweak, as well as my LinkedIn profile. And once we tweaked those two things, which, like I said, it was over the course of a month, because, you know, maybe go 2 weeks and let's see how you do, and like, nothing. Okay, let's look at this. Okay, maybe just change this and that. Okay, let's try again. And then another 2 weeks was like, still nothing. Then we changed a couple more things, and that seemed to be the fire, because then after that, I got a couple interviews like right away. And then I think the third interview, which was the one with the company I'm at now, but at least I was getting interviews. And so
yeah.
And I still know, like, the first interview I got, I know why I bombed it. So I was like, I knew that was my fault. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna learn from that mistake and go forward. And so the next company I had an interview with after that, I made it to two interviews. So I was like, okay, see, I learned from my mistake. So I got a follow up. And with the company I'm at now, it went to a total of, I think, three or four interviews. Plus, like I said, they had like a little kind of test to like send them an email to see how that looked. And that was the only one I needed to get.
Man, that is incredible. You said a mouthful of gems. That was really incredible. So one, I'm so happy you mentioned the prayer part, because prayer is powerful. Prayer works.
Yes, it is.
And so, but I love how y'all caught that alignment, where it's like you prayed and then right. I'm gonna be real. That's how we all want God to operate with us. So I don't know.
Yeah, he doesn't always answer that fast, but yeah, he did that time.
Exactly. God usually doesn't move like that, but this was one of those times where that alignment was crazy. You prayed, and then you see a video by Myron Golden, mm-hmm. and then the video after that is someone talking about the tech sales track with Course Careers, and you're like, okay, cool, you do it. And then the other thing that I love is how it seems like God protected you from hearing the noise that was on the news and all of this stuff. And I always tell people, like, look, don't pay attention to the news. You know, don't pay attention to the news, because the news will announce, hey, this company did mass layoffs of 10,000 jobs. Mm-hmm. But the news isn't going to announce, hey, this other company is mass hiring for 20,000 tech jobs. They just always report on the negativity. So I always tell people, like, stop paying attention to the news, because I remember I got in tech the end of 2021, like October 2021. I remember 2022, people were telling me on social media, oh, no one's hiring for tech anymore. I did over 100 interviews of people that did boot camps getting tech. Mm-hmm. Then 2023, everyone said, oh, no one's. Then 2024, all knows, and everyone keeps saying it. And I'm like, look, y'all see me go live every week with it on average two new people who just got in tech from doing a boot camp. Mm-hmm. And it's like, either you can listen to the noise and listen to the fear, or you can look at the testimonies and you can see, and you can think, okay, what is this person doing that I'm not doing? Or what is this person doing? I could take some notes. So when I do a program, I can make sure that I'm operating and making those same types of moves. But I love how it sounds like God protected you a little bit from some of the distraction that could have affected your performance in the program and could have affected your confidence.
Yeah. Well, like I said, during that first month when I wasn't getting anything, I still remember this. I don't think I still have it on my phone. I think I did delete it, but there was about 3 weeks in, or maybe if it was even right at the 4 week mark, somewhere around there, I was just getting really frustrated, and my wife is also a God-fearing woman. So, and I'll go to her and you know, babe, I've been praying and you know, I'm putting in the work. You see me every day putting in the work, but what's going on? And so again, praying, asking for help, asking for guidance. And then I saw a LinkedIn post from a woman. I can't remember her name right now or anything, but she had posted a LinkedIn post saying, hey, she has like a years of recruiting experience. And she says, I just want to make this post for anyone who needs to hear this right now. And it was just basically saying everything I needed to hear. It was like, it was basically like saying, it's not you, it's the market, but keep trying. People are still hiring. Don't give up. Like, it was everything I needed to hear. And I was like, okay, it's not me. Cause I really, for a second, I started to doubt. I was like, is it me? Is it like the whole thing of like not having a degree or not having these, is that what it is? And I would say, yeah, don't believe those lies. Cause that's the devil messing with you. You're with your head.
You know, what's interesting. So first off, amen to everything you said. What's really interesting is how I'm noticing a pattern. You are the third person in a row that I've interviewed with a tech testimony where you got a role 2 months after finishing the program that you did. And what's interesting is that that's the exact time frame it took me. Like, I finished the program, the boot camp that I did. And my first month, I was barely getting interviews. And it was really one of those things where, and it was really my fault. I was getting a few interviews, but it's like I was missing some of the interviews because I wasn't staying on top of my schedule. And it was just really, I'd had like a moment where God kind of was like, what are you doing? Like, do you want to get in this industry or not? You know, did you? Because the program I did was literally 10 times the price of the program you did. I literally dropped about $5,000.
Oh, wow.
So, and mind you, I had never in my life paid for, I had never even seen half that amount in my bank account. I literally had to work super hard. I was a Lyft driver. I had to work really hard just to get that money, just to pay them. Not even to have that money for myself, but just to pay for the program.
Yeah.
Out of pocket.
I wasn't working at the time. So yeah, when I forked over the money, ooh, I was like, and like I said, luckily my wife is a strong, faithful woman. So she was like, you got this. This is what you want to do. You do what you don't worry. You're on unemployment. So we're making our bills. Don't worry. If this is how it's going to help us for our future, go for it.
Yo, praise God for a supportive wife.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. 100%.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I love that. Shouts out to your wife. And so, you know, that actually brings another layer though. That brings a whole nother layer. So of course let me ask you this, and then I'll shift it over to your wife. So okay. when you actually got your offer from the company that you were at, how did it happen? Was it a phone call? Was it an email? And then emotionally, what was that moment like for you? And then also, what was it like for your wife when she found out?
Yeah. So that's, oh man, I hope I don't cry because I'm an easy crier. But what happened was I had kind of been told a couple times, and it's not their fault, by the way, but I had kind of been told a couple times, okay, that this should be last interview. We should be able to let you know within the next couple of days. And then a couple of days would pass and be like, hey, we're going to need you to do another interview. Or it was that, like I said, that last point where it was like, hey, we're going to need you to send us an email. So I could tell like, okay, they're not 100% convinced yet. I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to keep plugging away. And so after I sent that email, they were like, okay, that's all we need. And we'll let you know by the end of the week. And I was like, and I think this was like a Wednesday. So I was like, okay, a couple of days. So on Friday, I was, you know how it is. Like, you're just like looking at your phone. Like, is it ringing? Like, is anyone calling? So, it came in from the area code that I knew that was, the person that was in HR was calling from. So when I saw the number come up, I'm like, okay, this is either going to be great news or I'm going to have to do some more work again, or it might be another delay. I don't know. At that point, I was like, are they going to delay this again to next week? What's going on? So I pick up and he tells me, hey, you know, Kevin, just want to make sure you're good. And are you, would you like to, you know, start working for us? Basically, he's like, we'd like to send you an offer letter. And I was like, of course. Yes. 100%. Send it to me. And he's okay. So like, well, I'll send it over to you and then we'll chat on Monday and we'll go over everything and make sure, you know, everything's good with you, but looking forward to having you join us and all that kind of stuff. Right. So hang up the phone, immediately fall on my knees and start crying and thanking God, like immediately start crying, praising God. And then I went from so happy and grateful to then slightly annoyed because my wife was not home, and she was out. She was out with running errands with her mom, who is super. I'm super close with her. She's like a second mom, and she lives 5 minutes away, so we see her all the time. So I didn't want to tell her over the phone. I didn't want to text it to her. I wanted to tell her in person. Like, I had this idea. I want to tell her in person. So she had she knew that right as I kind of started looking for a job, per the advice of my mom, who's also a very God-fearing woman, says, you know, write a letter to God thanking her for the job that you got, even though you don't have it yet. Just write a letter thanking him for the job, thanking him for the pay, thanking him for the great bosses, thanking him for the benefit, like thanking him for everything that you don't have yet, but just as if you already have it. So I wrote this long letter, and she's like, and put it somewhere where you'll see it every day. So I just put it on a magnet on the fridge, and it was sitting there the whole time. So I said, okay, I know what I'll do. I'll take the letter off the fridge, and I'll, like, when she comes home. And so it kind of got a little thrown off because she came home with her mom. So it wasn't going to be just her. It was her and her mom. So I go, hey, I guess I'll say this in front. Do you guys notice anything different with the fridge? And so her mom is taking the lead when I was hoping it was be my wife. And my, her mom is like, did you get some new magnets? Did you get the, And then my wife's name is Andrea. So Andrea kind of like noted, and she looks at me, and then she looks at, and she sees I'm holding the thing in my hand. She's all, you got it. And I said, I got it. And then she was like, oh, and so they both like bum rushed me and hugged me and stuff. So I was actually glad that it worked out that way. It was probably God's plan that they were there to hear the news.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So it was awesome.
Man, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Man, what a phenomenal story, man. That's incredible. Yeah. Oh, man. Mega congratulations. That's so beautiful, man.
Yeah. And I think I tried again after that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. You know what's funny? When I got my offer, I cried. What's funny is that I was at a Latin bar with at the time it was with my girlfriend, and it was the first time like she actually was treating me because I didn't have a lot of money. I was a Lyft driver, and she told me, she said, "Hey, look, I just want to take you out." She said, "Because you've been studying hard, you've been applying, you've been interviewing." You've been doing all of this work to get in the industry. She was like, you know, I just want to like take you out and celebrate you. So I want to celebrate you for the work you've been putting in. Even though you don't have a job yet, I just want to celebrate you. And we were literally out, and it was probably like 12:30, 1 a.m. And something just, you know, out of nowhere, I just wanted to check my email randomly. Like I'm sitting down, and you know, we were dancing. And so I was like, all right, let me take a break. Uh-huh. I sat down, I checked my email. And yeah, I saw that offer letter. And I broke down in tears. I was crying so hard, and she was consoling me, but you know, she was happy for me. Right. You could, everyone that was dancing, you know, everyone's dancing, but they're looking at us. You can tell they think like, oh, she just dumped this guy. Yep, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Like, oh, in a public place? No.
Yeah, no, nah, but man, it's such a beautiful moment, such a beautiful moment. And so so that's why I love to ask the question about like, okay, what was the moment like, you know, when you received the offer letter? Because usually it's a very, very beautiful moment, beautiful experience. That's just really precious. It's really, really precious. Mm. So we got a couple comments. I'm going to acknowledge a couple of them. It's people saying congratulations. Amen. Damaris says, my goodness, I will write a letter to God. This is powerful. Yeah, definitely, y'all. Write a letter to God. Pray. All of that. Definitely, definitely. Love that so much, so much.
I tell people all the time. I tell people all the time because my wife and I also teach the youth at our church. And so the church, that even the kids, and when I say kids, actually, they're most of them high school, or even some of them are college age. And so they knew during this time period that I wasn't working and how things were going and stuff like that. And so after it all happened, and I basically got to give my testimony to the church. And I said to them, I said, you know, I 100% now like resonate with Peter so much, because in the beginning, when I first, you know, because when I first lost my job, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I have faith in God. He's going to give me something greater. And I was just like, so I was like, I'm in the boat. Jesus is there. He's, you want me to walk you? I'll walk to you. I trust you. I'm walking to you. And then after, like I said, after some troubles and some waves, I started to look at the storm, and then I started to sink. I started to feel like maybe this ain't going to work. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe, like, you know, whatever. And then like just in that moment, that's when he reaches out and pulls you up. And I was like, That's what I needed. And that's what, and that's what all that stuff was, like all the praying, all the writing the letter, like all that was just reaffirming, like, I have like faith in you. You, just because I don't see it right now, just because I don't, you know, like feel it right now, doesn't mean you're not working for me. So like, that's 100% write a letter, pray. Yeah.
Hey man, that's incredible. Ah, I love that so much. I love that so much. And so I'll ask my last question here, and then we'll transition over to the comments. So for everybody who has a question, make sure y'all are, y'all got y'all questions ready, because as soon as we stop seeing questions, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. So for everybody who's on Instagram, if you have a question, make sure you are clicking the drop down above my head, putting your question in the designated question area. You know, so make sure you're posting your questions. Same thing, LinkedIn, YouTube, ask your questions. Even for everybody who's listening to this after the fact, make sure you're posting your questions in the comment section, and myself and the team will jump in and be able to answer some of those questions for you. So my currently, what I believe is my last question to you is, well, you know, I'll bundle it together with two. So one, you've been in the industry now for 3 months. Would you say that it's worth it? Like, what has your experience been like so far? Like, would you say like, man, this is actually a great experience? Or would you say like, okay, people kind of hype it up a little bit being in tech sales? So that's my first question. And my second question is, what is a word of advice that you would give to someone who is either on, basically who's on the fence about getting in the tech industry or even getting in tech sales? So one, is it all hype? Because obviously a lot of people online that talk about, hey, getting in tech, the tech industry is great. Like, how much would you say, hey, it actually is really amazing versus a little bit of hype? And then the second question is, yeah, what's a word of advice do you have for people that are on the fence?
Yeah, so for me, obviously, I can only speak about my own personal experience. But for me, I never really bought into the hype. I wasn't doing it for those reasons. I was doing it because I wanted a change. And I felt like, again, I felt like God was kind of trying to point me in that direction. And then so I just took the leap of faith and walked towards it. So in terms of just the overall things I would hear about, like, oh, tech companies are great to work for, just great benefits, they treat you like, you know, like an adult, like all these kind of things. Because I had not had that before. Like I said, I've had mostly like situations where, like I was telling somebody else the other day, it was like, it didn't matter how hard I worked. The most I could expect at the end of a year for like a raise was 3%, no matter how hard I worked. This was like a situation where it's like, oh no, actually the amount of work I put in will be reflected in what I take home. And then just like top of that, the benefits, like in that initial call with him, when he was going over my package and stuff, and he was like telling me, you know, unlimited PTO and all this, I'm like, okay. And then he even actually said, it was funny, cause he was like, and you get all these holidays off already and you get your birthday off automatically. And I said, he said at the end, he's like, do you have any questions? I said, well, I have one quick question. I said, so I'm starting like basically early April. My birthday is end of April. Like I would still get that. And they're like, yeah, of course you get it off. I'm like, but I haven't even been there a month yet. And they're like, we don't. Yeah. And I was just like, okay, that's again, where I came from before, that would never happen. They didn't know you have to get at least 3 months or a year or whatever. Right. So I was like, wow, they really do treat you like an adult. And then what was the second part of your question?
The second part, I love that you said that was funny. So the second part of the question is a word of advice that you have. Like, what would you say to someone who's like, they're kind of on the fence, they're not really sure about it, or same thing, news, whatever. What's a word of advice that you would have for someone right now?
Honestly, I mean, there's so many different things. One, I would say like what Dre would tell me, like you got to do the work to get the work. You got to do the job to get the job. And ultimately the biggest thing, I don't know if this applies so much to tech sales as it does to what I learned in course careers, but it still applies, is the things I was able to take away from that not only helped me prepare for the career, but that helped me like learn how to really get a job. I'm at a place now where, and again, this might be overconfident, but I don't think it is, where I feel like if I was to ever lose this job or in the future, like I have no fear about how to go out and get another one if I need to, like without the sense of fear, like, oh man, but it might take a really long time and who knows what'll happen. What if I can't get this? Or what if I end up in this, you know, that is gone, because now I know like the actual steps that are needed and the outlook that's needed, the mindset that's needed. to be able to do that and the work that's needed. Because again, that's the thing is some people want to, you know, get a new job that pays them a lot of money, but they don't want to work to get the job that pays them a lot of money. They just want to snap their fingers and get the job and get the money. I'm like, no, you gotta, I mean, maybe for some people you could get lucky and that'll happen. But for most people, you gotta work hard to get the job that pays well. So that would be my biggest advice.
Incredibly true. Yeah. Great advice. Hey, y'all. So look, we're about to go ahead and transition over to the questions really quick. For those of y'all who came in a little late, I do a quick snapshot of his story really quickly. So he was at the time unemployed and he was watching. He finished praying. He was in prayer, spent some time in prayer with God. One of his prayers or part of his prayer was him asking God, hey, like in terms of direction, finances, career. And then immediately after prayer, he saw a motivational video by a well-known businessman, but also he talks about he's a pastor, I believe, as well. I think I just found that out. Is he a pastor? I heard him saying something about being a pastor. Yeah, his name is Myron Golden. For those of y'all who don't know, I'm gonna start watching more of his content. I've seen him come up a good bit, and so he saw that. And then right after that, he saw an ad for the same boot camp he ended up doing, and he ended up signing up for that boot camp. And after he finished the boot camp, it took him 5 weeks to finish the programs. It's a short program. I wasn't gonna say relatively short, but it is a short program. It took him 5 weeks to complete it. And then after that, took him 2 months of hard work to land his job. So literally roughly 2 months after he finished the program, he started at his current tech company that he is currently at now with amazing benefits and just a lot that comes with it. And so he's got done telling his story, breaking it down. Very beautiful, amazing, amazing story. Had a supportive wife at the time, even while he was unemployed. And so just really dope story. So I definitely encourage y'all, for those of y'all that missed it, I definitely encourage you to make sure you listen to all of it top to bottom, because it's also get some good nuggets as well. That being said, we're about to transition over to you all's questions. And of course, for those of y'all who are like, oh, you know, what's the program you did? How did you get in the industry? All you need to do is go to the show notes, go to the description, and you will see the link to the program that he did down below. Specifically, it's a discount link. So the program is literally only $500. It's only $500. With the discount, you save about $50, ends up being about $449. That's literally it. For those of you, I saw a couple people in the comments earlier saying, hey, I've already done a boot camp. I've already done a program, you know, so you're not trying to do another boot camp. Totally cool. With Tech is the New Black, we have a tech career accelerator with guaranteed job placement assistance, where you're able to literally choose the tech company that you want to work at. Now, again, it's out of our list of 10 companies. So these are the Googles, the AWS, the Microsofts, the SAP, the Salesforce. You literally choose, you're able to choose out of these billion-dollar companies which one you want to work at. And then you get plugged in within our program with the recruiter and hiring leaders for them to give you guaranteed job placement assistance into and plug you in into those companies. So if you are somebody who's interested in that, same thing if you're on YouTube, LinkedIn, anywhere other than Instagram, just go to the description down below. But if you're on Instagram, again, if you just comment, get me in tech, our automations will send you a link for both options, where you'll have a link for course careers and you'll have a link for if you just want the guaranteed job placement assistance, you'll have both of those options there for you. That being said, we're about to go ahead and transition over to you all's questions. No question is off the tables, except for the stupid question. I'm joking. No question is off the table. So we're going to jump into these questions, y'all. So again, make sure y'all are posting your questions immediately, because we're not going to be here too much longer. So we're going to try to get through as many of these questions possible as we can. So first, I'm going to check on Instagram. Yes, a lot of people were inspired by the writing a letter. Like, I'm going to write a letter. Exactly. Hey, y'all. That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
All right. So trying to make sure I'm not missing any of the earlier questions on YouTube or LinkedIn. All right, you said, do you offer opportunities for French people or in Europe? So the program he did, they don't do that. They offer opportunities for people that are in North America, but specifically for our job placement assistance, yes, we do. Now, not for tech sales though, not for tech sales, because if you live in Europe, we can't help you with tech sales, because usually tech sales is bound by the region that you live in. And most US companies, when the tech sales roles, They usually want to hire people that live in the U.S. because obviously you're in the same time zone as most of their prospects. But I saw you say earlier that you're into data science or data analytics, one or the other. If you're doing one of those, then yes, our job placement assistants will work with you because those are not customer facing roles. You're not locked in by a certain time zone. So yeah, so if you're doing something else, which it seems like you do, then yes, our job placement assistants will work well for you, even though you do live in France or Europe, one or the other, which France is in Europe. I'm tripping. Say one or the other. If you live in France. So anyway, so not y'all going back and forth about America and France in the comments. That's funny. All right. So next question. All right. Question from Gabs 1023. They asked, what has been your biggest learning curve getting into tech, especially tech sales?
The language that they use, the different words, the acronyms they have for all these different things. I mean, it's one of the first things that you learn, in course careers. It's kind of like they give you like a sheet of all these different words that you're going to hear a lot and you need to know what they mean. But even within that, so like that's one of those things where it's like, even within that, it kind of changes from company to company, because the company I went to now, I was like, I would hear like, what was it? CPL. And I was like, oh yeah, cost per lead CPC. And they're like, I forget what cost I thought it was, but they're like, it's a cost per call. CPC. So it's cost per call. And I was like, it's cost per call. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, exactly. So
had to like learn the different languages in them. And I'm still like, even to this day, again, because my company, some of the things are different and some of the things are the same. So you just kind of when you hear one, be like, hey, just for clarification, does that mean this or does this mean something else? And you gotta
acronym are we talking about right now?
Exactly. Yeah. So learning the language, I think, was probably the thing that took me a while to learn. And I'm still kind of learning too, because I'm still every other day I'll hear a new one and I'll be like, I know what that means for like in general, but I don't know if that means the same thing here. So let me find out.
Yeah. That is hilarious. Yeah, you know, that's one thing people don't realize. Like, I see some people who want to work in tech sales and they'll say, oh, well, I have a sales background, so I don't need to do a tech sales boot camp. I'm just going to go ahead and try to get a tech sales job. And I'm like, it's not the same thing. Yeah. Like, obviously it's sales, but it's like tech sales. Like you mentioned, there's a specific language. And just to be frank, y'all, recruiters, hiring leaders, specifically in the tech space, they gatekeep. And what I mean by gatekeep, they don't want to hire someone that they feel like you're just coming off the streets and you don't know anything about the tech space. You don't know their language, their lingo. You're just like, hey, I just want a job in this industry. They want someone who talks like you belong in this industry. And that's one, like you mentioned, that is one of the huge benefits of a quality bootcamp, is that you learn the lingo, you learn how people talk and express certain things. So that's really cool that you mentioned that being one of the learning curves was something that was beneficial for you.
100%. And that really is foundational. I mean, like you kind of have to get that. You have to get that down, or you're going to be, like you said, you're going to kind of be lost. And when they're talking about KPIs for CPCs and CPAs and all these things, are ROAS, and you're like, what, what are you guys? Is this English? What are we talking about right now? Yeah.
Oh, that's so true. That's so true. That's hilarious. All right, let's continue on with some of the other questions. What are your thoughts on pursuing CISA certification? I have over 10 years in the internal auditing experience field. So I'm not even sure what the CISA certification is. That's another acronym that I don't even think that's tech sales. I think that's something else. Not that your question has to be about tech sales, but I don't even think that question is specific to the tech industry. So one thing I will say, y'all, let's keep the questions focused on the tech industry. I'm sure that certification and field overlaps with the tech industry. But yeah, just simply put, I don't know the answer to that question. So let's see. Right. Okay, cool. So this question is more so just for me. So Question is, I'm a data analyst. I'm applying as a business strategist, growth hacker, and data analyst marketing and strategy, but no interviews. How can your program help me as I'm living in Paris and I'm French? So first off, so we have guaranteed interviews, so we definitely can help with that issue. But in terms of how the program will help you exactly is that, so one, it's a self-paced education first that's about 2 weeks long. It's the purpose of that education is it's basically modules that make sure that your LinkedIn is specifically how our recruiters want your LinkedIn to be, that your resume is specific to how they want it to be, your cover letter, basically all of your bare minimum pieces are where they need to be at. Then from there, you take a quiz to make sure that everything is lined up. After that, you meet with the hiring manager for your vetting interview. This hiring manager specifically is a hiring manager for Microsoft, but this hiring manager has worked across most of the major tech companies that we have as a part of our pipeline. You have your vetting interview with the hiring manager. The purpose of the vetting interview is one, to make sure that all of your ducks are actually in a row from your LinkedIn, that is properly set up and optimized. Yes, your resume, all your things are together. So they make sure that you have your things the way you're supposed to. And then they re-verify with you the tech companies that you want job placement assistance for. So you're able to choose up to two companies for that job placement assistance. And then it's not just you choosing the companies, they verify what your goals are. So let's say you're in France. So let's say you want to work at SAP, but they'll verify and say, hey, SAP isn't hiring for that role, or they're not hiring for people who are in France, but these other three companies in our network or in our list are hiring for that instead. So part of the vetting interview is to guide you towards the proper company. And then also look at what your goals are salary-wise. Or do you care more about equity? Do you care more about working remote? Whatever those pieces are, they help guide you towards the right companies that are a part of our job placement assistance. Then once that's solidified, then you get set up with the recruiters and hiring leaders for them to, of course, give you the internal referrals into the company, but also for them to coach you on actually landing the job. Because all of these companies, especially larger tech companies, there's a specific way they like people to answer questions. So essentially you get the inside scoop of, okay, they're going to ask you these list of questions. This is the specific way you answer each of these questions. And then of course you get mock interview, you get additional assistance from other recruiters and career coaches and a variety of other stuff. But simply put, that's the way that the job placement assistance portion works. So you being French, they'll find which companies out of our list of 10 companies would be best for you to actually get your job at. And you said my LinkedIn is in French. That's totally cool. That's totally fine. All right. So that being said, let's get over to some other questions. Let's see what else y'all are asking. All right, y'all. I don't see any other questions. We're gonna give y'all about another minute to drop another question in here. We're gonna wrap up. Now wrap up. My pleasure. Yeah, guys. So yeah. So again, to reiterate for those of y'all that missed it, he was at the time he was unemployed, did a tech boot camp, a 5-week program, got his job 2 months after finishing the boot camp, and now he's been working in the industry for 3 months. Amazing company with amazing benefits. Gets his birthday off. What was the other thing? There was something else that you mentioned.
Unlimited PTO, a bunch of holidays. Right now they have this thing called Summer Fridays where Fridays are all like half days basically for the whole summer. So just all these like, yeah, I was just like, yeah, keep adding the cherries on top of the cherries right now. Seriously. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh
my God. And the one thing I'll say too about course careers, and just in case anyone doesn't know, I did it in 5 weeks, but it is a self-paced thing. So some people actually do it faster, believe it or not. Some people try to get it in 2 weeks, and some people it takes, you know, a few months. So it's kind of really depending on your availability and how much time you're able to put into it, really.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, when I've interviewed people where they finished it in 2 weeks, and I've interviewed people where they really were taking their time and it took them like 3 months. most people on average that I interview, it took them between 3 to 6 weeks to complete it. So that makes sense. Yeah. I've interviewed a lot of people who got a job before they even finished, before they even got their certification at the end. And so that's happened several times. And so, yeah, really, really great, great program, great opportunity when it comes to that. And all right, guys, I don't see any other questions in the comments. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and wrap up. Got a question. This is a question. Okay, question. All right. Would manual QA engineer be an in-demand job in the near future? Would you recommend a boot camp for manual QA? Nope. I wasn't recommending manual QA 2 years ago. Now I definitely won't recommend it. If you are going to do anything QA, it needs to have these two things. One, it needs to be QA automation. So not manual QA, QA automation. Because first off, that pays more. And most companies aren't trying to hire a manual QA person. They want to hire QA automation. The second thing is also you need to have some education when it relates to AI and QA automation. And so we have, shameless plug, we have AI QA automation within our program. So we have DevOps, tech sales, QA automation with AI education within all of those. But then also we have our separate track, which is just our tech career accelerator, which is the piece that just has job placement assistance. So people who've already coming with education, our tech career accelerator, they could do that by itself. But for everything we do for both DevOps, QA, and tech sales, we have job placement assistance for all of those as well within our company. So, but yeah, so don't do QA, don't do manual QA. Make sure if you're going to do another program, if you don't want to do our program, totally fine. But make sure that it is a program that has QA automation. That is incredibly important to set yourself up for success. All right, guys, so that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up. Kevin, I want to ask you just to leave the people with one last piece of advice or encouragement you want to leave them with before we wrap up.
Just if this is something you want to do, or just whatever it is that you want to do that you're feeling you're being led to do, just don't let the devil mess with your head. Don't let fear and doubt and society and people and what the news is telling you and all these kind of things make you think that you can't do it or you're wasting your time or money or whatever. Just if you have the faith, like stick with the faith and keep moving forward. And like one of the things that always like kind of reminds me of is like the Lord will direct your steps, but you have to take a step for him to guide you. You can't just stand still. Like you got to be moving in order for him to guide you. If you're just standing still, nothing's going to change. And so I would say, and that was my biggest problem for a long time, is I would just stand still and wait. Like, what should I do? Where should I go? I don't know. It's like, once I started finally moving, then he was able to start guiding me.
Man. So for sure. You know, that's something I've seen so many believers do. And I remember I was promoting RPA at one point, which right now I don't promote it because that's not a good space to get into tech right now. But I remember the person whose program, when I was promoting it, he told me, he said, man, Cyrus, he said, a lot of the people that are coming to me from your audience, he says, all of them, they keep telling me like, oh, I got to wait and hear what God says, or I got to kind of like wait. I got to kind of, you know, whatever. And he was confused because he doesn't come from the church. And he made a statement, and I said, man, I said, okay, even though he's not a believer, I said, there's truth to that. He said, man, what is wrong with these people? He says, why do you need to pray? Like, he's like, I'm not saying like, don't pray. He says, look, I don't mean be disrespectful to your prayer. He said, I'm not going to say don't pray. He was like, but why do you need to pray before moving forward with something? He's like, you already know you're in a dire situation. God has already told you where you're at is bad. You need to get out. He was like, are you going to stay in a fire and say, God, should I not try to at least take a step out of this fire?
Right, right.
And I do think that is something that oftentimes believers make a mistake on. That, you know, we look at scriptures like, you know, those who wait on the Lord, you know, it's like all, stuff like that we misconstrue. And I love how you mentioned, I've actually never thought of that scripture that way, where you say, you know, the Lord will direct your steps. It doesn't say the Lord will force your step.
Mm-hmm.
It literally says, like, as you're stepping,
you got to be moving.
He will direct your path. He will make straight your ways. Mm-hmm. But it's like you said, we have to step. We have to make a move. And as long as we are walking with God, he will direct our step. So we don't have to be afraid.
That's the fear, though, because a lot of people think, what if I walk in the wrong direction? What if I'm walking in the totally wrong direction? It's like, that's the devil telling you, then don't walk. Stay there. Stay right where you're at. I said, if you're walking in the wrong direction, you don't think God can turn you around and make you go the other way? Like, I mean, it's God.
That's so real. So, I mean, even then what the enemy meant for bad, God meant for good. So even if we are going the wrong way, as long as we are walking with God, as long as we are honoring God, mm-hmm. what the enemy meant for bad, God will still make it work out in our favor. Yep. Like however it goes, however it works out, he will allow it to work out in our favor. So I love that so much. Yeah. Just like Kay Young said in the comments, move and pray. Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. Definitely pray, but be moving while you're praying.
Yeah.
Hey, I love that so much, man. Kevin, thank you so much, man, for coming here, man, sharing your tech testimony. Amazing testimony, man. Again, shouts out to your wife for holding down, supporting you in it. Praise God, you know, just for the blessing it ended up turning out to. And again, this is just the beginning. Like, so as you're going to be moving up in the industry, it's only going to be a bigger, greater blessing in the future. So, man, thank you so much for sharing your impactful story.
Thank you for having me, Cyrus. I really do appreciate it, honestly. And yeah, I hope this was able to help somebody. If it just helped one person, that's all. That's all it was meant to help.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, y'all. Look, y'all have a blessed and beautiful night. We will see y'all later.
Hey, it's Austin James. If you're like me, trying to live your best life while living with diabetes, you can relate to worrying if you're doing a good job managing your diabetes. I use the FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor to get real-time glucose readings and see the impact of every meal and activity to make better decisions. The FreeStyle Libre 3 Plus sensor can help me live life with diabetes on my own terms, and it gives me more time for the things I love, like being a dad and a musician. Now this is progress. Learn more at FreeStyleLibre.us.
For prescription only, safety info found at FreeStyleLibre.us.